You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Chicago White Sox edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, joined by a recovered Scott Merkin, who, of course, was battling allergies and playing hurt for us last week. Now he's back up and at him, and so are the White Sox, who finally reached the 500 mark, entered the week at 500 for the first time this season, had won five in a row. Merk, is it starting to look like something there on the south side?
Yeah, I should first thank Adam Eaton last Monday in Milwaukee as I was having trouble breathing through my sinuses and the air conditioning wasn't out in the visitor's clubhouse yet, so he gave me a container of water that probably kept me from hitting the floor in the visitor's clubhouse. So it's a little side note there, but yes, the White Sox, you know, I wrote a story on the off day Thursday with great comments from Adam LaRoche, you know, really veteran's perspective about every team that he's been on. They kind of panicked after a slow start in just a few games, not a few games, but, you know, whatever, 30-game sample. Almost always in September, looks up and they're 25 games, 20 games back. And he said, you just, you know, got to keep pushing ahead. And if at the end of the year you're not good enough, then you're just not good enough. And you can't start worrying about what it's going to look like 80 games in when you're 30 games in. And I think that perspective, you know, came through this past week. You know, that they haven't played great teams the past 2 weeks is one side of the argument. Milwaukee and Oakland's probably as bad as any team in baseball right now, but they beat them. You know, they're 5-1 against them, and that's what you're supposed to do, especially if you have designs on being a contender. You beat the teams you should beat and then really compete against the other teams on your level. So a good step forward, some more timely hitting, better defense, just the starting pitching's picked up a little bit. Everything's kind of come together to make them, you know, the team that people, closer to the team that people thought they were going to be coming out of spring training.
Yeah, and the White Sox didn't have a good record going into those series. So
Exactly. No, yeah. No question about it. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a small argument, but hey, you know, there's a lot of teams who probably said, you know, early in the year while you're beating the White Sox, like you said, they're not very good right now. And you look back and you're like, a win is a win. You know, it doesn't matter one way or the other. You got to win the games that are in front of you pretty much on the schedule.
I do have to ask you this, Merk. They are 9-3, I think, since hashtag pitch 8. This is something
about
you
that?
Tweeted,
yeah,
and that just leads me to ask, what the heck
on
is
that
pitch 8?
I think.
What's that?
I said T-shirts to come on that if it keeps going. If they get to like 15-3 or something like that, I'm going to start.
Well, what is it, Merk? I don't even know what pitch 8 is. I'm so confused here.
Well, what happened was is, you know, being a little sarcastic in the Twitterverse there, they'd come off that horrible Minnesota series, which, you know, was strewn with flu, but still very bad played by the White Sox. And I believe the first two hitters, Justin Marge face against Detroit in the first game of the homestand was an Anthony Gosse single, a stolen base, an error on the throw, and then I think a base hit from Kinsler. So, again, the people on the ledge were, you know, people coming after Robin Ventura and everything else. They were going full steam at that point. On the eighth pitch of the game against Miguel Cabrera, who arguably is, you know, if not the best hitter of our generation, certainly the best hitter in baseball right now, hit into a hard double play, and I tweeted out, it all started on pitch number 8 of the homestand. And a couple of people reminded me that on Twitterverse yesterday after the Sox improved to 9-3 since that pitch number 8.
That's amazing, Merk.
Yeah, I'm not sure. If I had that kind of power, I'd probably be playing the lottery more often or Powerball or something like that. But, yeah, it was a funny thing that kind of worked out so far. But, I mean, more importantly for the Sox than my pitch number 8, craziness there is, you know, they've won, what, 5 straight series now, is it, if I'm counting right? Detroit? Yeah, 4 straight series, I believe. And, 9-3 in that time, which is a big turnaround for them.
Absolutely. And John Danks has made a nice turnaround. He's been a key part of this, his last couple starts. What do you think has clicked in for him?
You know, John Danks is the ultimate competitor. He doesn't have the same kind of stuff that he had pre-surgery in August of 2012, but very few work, you know, it's the old saying about, you know, there may be people who work as hard, but no one works harder than that guy. And he's, you know, with Don Cooper, the pitching coach, and, you know, in between starts and really working, studying video, trying to get the best out of his ability. I think he's kind of worked a little quicker pace than he did early on and just, you know, getting ahead of guys. I mean, it's pretty simple then because his stuff is not overpowering. He's just got to limit the walks and limit the home runs, and he's in pretty good shape there. But, you know, he's a guy that, people compare him now after, you know, the arthroscopic shoulder surgery, did that 10 times fast, to Mark Burley, which is a great comparison to have because Mark Burley is, every year as a starter, has pitched at least 200 innings, made at least 30 starts, and won double digits in each of those campaigns. So, you know, if you have him as your third or as your fourth or fifth starter, and you're getting a guy whose ERA is around four, maybe a little lower, a little below, and he's giving you 30 starts and close to 200 innings, well, you're in pretty good shape. You know, that's a pretty good guy to have in rotation. Not many teams have five guys who are going to be, you know, number one starters. So if you can have John Danks doing that for you, it not only helps the team, but it helps the bullpen as well, which in turn helps the team. So, yeah, he's had a nice turnaround the last couple starts.
Absolutely. And, of course, the rotation now, Justin Marja had a nice start against Oakland, and Carlos Rodon now featured in that rotation. But his second start wasn't quite as sharp as the first. It just seems like he didn't have the same fastball command against Oakland that he did the previous time out.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, media included, focus on his changeup, and really fastball command is his most important pitch. And, you know, let's face it, he's 22 years old. This is his first season in the majors, really his first professional season barring a month last year. There's going to be ups, there's going to be downs. That happens with every young player. You know, there's going to be games like he had the first game where he strikes out eight and six innings and is pretty close to dominant, and there's going to be games where he's a little wild or maybe gets hit a little bit. So I think it's all just part of the growing pain process. But, yeah, fastball command is the key for a young pitcher with his kind of stuff, no doubt about it.
I want to ask you, Merk, about the second base shakeup last week. Carlos Sanchez up, Micah Johnson down. Those guys, of course, were both in the mix, battling out in spring training. Micah Johnson had a sensational spring camp. Just seems like it didn't translate to the regular season there, Merk. What do you make of that switch? And do you see that as a long-standing situation there with Sanchez?
Well, you know, I think Micah is going to be a solid major leaguer at some point. I think he's a dynamic offensive presence. One thing that I never really got a chance to talk to him about and really didn't talk to Rick much about either is, you know, this is a kid who in his minor league career, as he was, you know, climbing the ladder very quickly, was used to hitting 2, 3, 4 in the lineup, you know, maybe even lead off sometimes. And for the most part, he hit ninth with the White Sox. Now, that's how it goes in an established lineup. You're not going to jump in there and hit one or two right away. But you wonder if, you know, getting less at-bats kind of, you know, he did well. He did fine offensively, but even lessened a greater impact he could have. But the biggest thing with Micah is just, you know, getting the defensive, I don't want to say fundamentals, but just overall defensive game sharper. And, you know, I saw a tweet from Charlotte that his first day down there, he was, you know, at the field before everyone else, already working on his, you know, defensive skills and his glove work and his footwork out there. And, you know, Carlos Sanchez is a good player. I think people forget about that he broke camp with the team, you know, not just as a throw-in, but, you know, he was a contributor right from the start. And he went down, and as Rick Hahn pointed out, he didn't kind of sulk over losing the starting job to Micah. He played, you know, just as hard, if not better, than he had before, kind of forcing himself to be noticed down there. He was hitting about 340. At one point, he had 9 straight hits. And he's a steadier influence, a steadier force at second right now than Micah. And, you know, they were struggling defensively. They had some major problems during that, you know, that 8-14 start, excuse me, where defense was making a difference. And as the immortal Hawk Harrelson says, the first rule of baseball is you got to catch the ball. Sox weren't doing that. And Sanchez, just in his, you know, brief appearance up at the majors, already seems to have helped stabilize the middle infield there. So it's a good option for the Sox to have. It's a good problem for the Sox to have when you have two viable forces that can play that position. And trust me, they're not done with Micah Johnson, not by a long shot. Micah is going to be a player, you know, at the major level. Some people have already asked about, you know, is there a chance he could switch positions? But Rick Hahn said definitely he is staying at second, working at second. So you will see him again this year. He is going to play a part on this team's success before all is said and done. But credit to Carlos Sanchez for earning his way back up to the majors and, you know, maybe the job for the foreseeable future.
And Alexi Ramirez is starting to hit too. So the middle of the infield is starting to look a lot more productive than it was certainly that first month of the season.
Yeah, Alexi, you know, is a notorious slower starter. He had some brutal starts early in his career, and then lately it's just been a little bit slower. But this is usually the time when Alexi takes off. You know, even Adam LaRoche, if you look at his numbers in April are always lower than pretty much everything else in his career. So this is a team that it's been said by a couple different people in the organization that it's built for the long haul. Now, granted, they didn't say, well, let's start off slow and see what we can do from there. You know, they would like to start off, you know, 15-8 instead of 8-15 or 14-8 instead of 8-14. But they knew that, you know, as long as they didn't get buried, they had a chance to be in this thing. And I think the biggest thing coming up is, you know, this week they have a 7-game homestand against Cleveland and Minnesota, the Paul Konerko jersey retirement on Saturday. But after that, they have that monstrous 11-game road trip where they go to Toronto, the makeup doubleheader Baltimore, Houston, and Texas. So facing some good teams, 11 games, and I think by the end of that, which I think is June 4th or June 5th, now I'm not saying you're going to know for sure where they're at, but you'll know a little bit more. They don't have to be in first place at that point. They don't have to be within 2 games of a playoff spot at that point. But if they're there, if they're close with 32 road or home games in July and August, they've set themselves up in pretty good position.
Still a lot of baseball left. The White Sox have dug themselves out from that huge hole they dug for themselves there early on, and Scott Merkin's been on top of all that. And Merk, are you ready to confirm that you are David Letterman's final guest?
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. I saw your excellent column on Sports on Earth, and I forgot about the Billy Martin, George Steinbrenner interview. What a great interview that was, actually.
Yeah.
And, boy, I would love to be. That's one thing that's missed out in my career. I never in 33 years, God knows I had some chances. I had some time, I should say. I was in his audience a number of times, but never his guest. And, I mean, that's just the end, you know, at the end of an era is used kind of thrown around liberally, but really an innovator and changed not just late night TV, but I think comedy and broadcasting in general. It's going to be sad to see his last show, but I cannot confirm. I've sworn to secrecy who the last guest is. I can't say who it is yet.
Okay. Well, thanks for nothing, Merk. We could have used the podcast hits, but thanks for nothing.
I can confirm now I am not the last guest. How about that?
Okay. Kind of guess. Maybe the Eagles will be the musical guest.
The Eagles will be a good one. Or Tom Brokaw or Regis Philbin. No Regis Philbin so far. Hopefully he gets on there.
Oh, you know Regis Philbin on the last one.
You got it.
Well, thank Dave Letterman for being a good friend of baseball writers across the country. You come in groggy from covering a ball game and giving us some laughs. And Merk, you're always good for a laugh as well, so thank you for that. And thank everybody for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extra, Chicago White Sox edition.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.